The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey guys, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, and I am at the TerraCycle headquarters today. I am interviewing CEO and founder of TerraCycle, Tom Zaki. He's also author of Future of Packaging, From Linear to Circular. We're going to talk to him about TerraCycle a little bit, an overview of that, and then he's going to dive into his book a little bit, and we're going to talk about packaging and how it's going to be in the future for the supply chain and logistics for us kind of guys. So, Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So, why don't you tell us a little bit, I guess, about your story and TerraCycle. Sure. I know you started with some worm poop,
yeah,
I think, right?
Absolutely. So, TerraCycle started always as a mission-driven business with a purpose to eliminate the idea of waste. We don't want to manage it. You know, waste management sector, I still have a problem with that word, you know, because that's about managing.
Okay.
It would really need to be eliminating problems, not managing problems.
Definitely.
Imagine if it was like, you know, a company that managed poverty, you know, versus eliminate it, right? You know, it's sort of a weird thing, this idea of waste management.
Just
anyway.
Just tolerating it.
Right, it is, a little bit, right? So, we have at TerraCycle, the way we began actually was making products out of waste. And our first was liquid worm poop in a used soda bottle. We sold that at, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, all these, you know, great retailers. But we pivoted away from that after about our first 5 years because we realized that while we were able to build, you know, within 5 years about a $6 million enterprise, which is not bad, the product was the hero, which means we picked the very best type of waste to make the product, which means we weren't picking other types of waste. And so we pivoted to make the waste the hero, which is where we are today. And now we're 16 years in, and we've grown every year ever since. I don't think we've had a year, we have not empirically had a down year yet. Knock
That's
on wood,
great.
Right? And this year should be no different. So we have five major pillars that make up the TerraCycle sort of group, if you will. The first pillar asks the question, is that object, could be B2B, B2C, could be like personal protective equipment at a distribution center, could be packaging from a consumer's home, could be a product, is that recyclable? And if the answer is no, then we make it nationally recyclable. And the way that works is that what makes something recyclable or not recyclable is not the technical ability to recycle it. In fact, almost everything is technically recyclable. What makes it practically recyclable is if it's profitable to do so. Like, so if you work at a DC, right, you can sell your corrugate. You can sell your stretch wrap. But there's many things you can't sell. We focus on the ones that you can't sell, which are technically the ones that are, or, you know, those are the ones that are practically not recyclable. Now, the way we solve it is we do need extra money. It's going to be more expensive than to dispose. And then we figure out how does that drive value for whoever's going to fund the bill. So a good example on that is, say we work with Kimberly-Clark on personal protective equipment recycling, and they may give the distribution center or the warehouse that service for free in exchange for ordering Kimberly-Clark personal protective equipment instead of, say, 3M.
You know? Got it.
So that's an example of how to create value.
Win-win situation.
Exactly, the idea is how do you extract value in other areas of the supply chain, not just the material.
Okay.
Our second division is focused on how do you integrate waste back into products. A very famous example is we run one of the world's largest supply chains on ocean plastic, where we take ocean plastic and put it into the Head & Shoulders bottle, or the Herbal Essence bottle, or the Ren Clean Skincare by Unilever bottle. You know, and there, that's a more expensive plastic with less capability, but again, we're able to get that done because we get value in other ways. So for example, Head & Shoulders, when they put ocean plastic into their shampoo bottle, can take advertising dollars down because it gets so much just love from the media, from people, and that helps balance the equation.
Yeah, it's good for a brand,
Exactly. Our third division is Loop, which is something we just announced at the World Economic Forum in Davos.
About 100.
About it's a fun one. And this one asks the question, what's the root cause of waste? Because recycling is dealing with the symptom of waste. Academically, you have to have the word waste to exist to have the word recycling exist.
Interesting.
Recycling is dependent on the word waste, which is, means it's not the foundational answer. It's the answer to the symptom of waste, but not to the cause.
Got it,
So what's the cause? I would argue disposability or using something once is the cause. And so the question then is, what are the benefits of disposability, right? Why did it win? And that's because it's affordable and convenient. But the strange thing about disposability is in like the milkman model on milk, the package was owned by the dairy. And so they were motivated to make it long-lasting and durable.
Because they were invested in it.
Exactly. Like an asset that you want to, you know, depreciate over the longest possible run.
Yes, yeah.
In the in a current disposable milk package, we own it, the consumer, but do we really want to?
No, we want what's inside.
That's right.
Yeah.
So why should we own it? Because when we own it, it becomes a cost of goods sold to the manufacturer, and their goal is to reduce costs, which actually make the packaging less recyclable and less delightful.
Yes, yeah.
So Loop basically says, let's challenge that. Let's shift ownership of the package back to the manufacturer, so that they're motivated to make it long-lasting and durable, which doesn't just... Durability brings about three sub-benefits. It becomes reusable, which is way better for the environment. Think like CHEP pallets instead of single-use pallets.
Yes, yeah.
It becomes higher quality design. Again, think CHEP pallets, right? It is like the CHEP pallet model, but for all consumer goods, right? That's a good way to sort of think about it if you're a logistics
analogy,
guy. And the third is that it can even have new features. Right, as well, like, you know, these materials, like our Häagen-Dazs container is made from double wall stainless steel, which actually gives
Alex was
added,
just showing me that. Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Tell me about
right?
it. Yeah,
I mean, you saw that package today. Häagen-Dazs is packaged in coated paper, which is not even recyclable.
Yeah,
you know, in Loop, it's packaged in double wall stainless steel.
Yeah.
And let's just say you didn't care about the environment at all. Mm-hmm. Which one would you prefer?
I mean, that one's sexier.
Definitely. Sexier, more beautiful.
Yeah, and the thing he told me was that the top melts before the bottom.
That's right.
Which is awesome for eating.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So even if you couldn't care about the environment, you'd prefer it.
Mm.
And if and from an environmental point of view, it's a kick-ass, you know, but it's way better.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the exciting part about Loop. And it functions the same for a consumer. You know, the manufacturer makes their product in these durable containers. So the only difference is the containers change. That's it.
Yeah.
The retailers embed Loop into their ecosystem, so they buy the product and sell it like normal. Everything is normal.
Yeah.
The consumer then buys it, pays the same price for the ice cream, pays a deposit on that durable container, and here's the only key difference. Instead of them putting the container in a garbage bin, they put it into a Loop bin.
Okay.
No cleaning, completely mixed together, so like garbage.
Okay.
Because that is perhaps the most convenient way to deal with a product, throw it in a bin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then instead of that bin ending up in a landfill or a recycling center, it ends up with Loop, which sorts it and then cleans it and sends it back to the manufacturer for refill.
Interesting. So Loop is actually the in-between between the
consumer. We're the waste management function.
Yeah, got it.
Right? So instead of it going to a landfill and the new packaging being made, that's the worst, that's linear.
Yeah.
Or it going to a recycling bin that goes to a MRF, that goes to then a processing facility, that then goes to a packaging company to blow into a new bottle, that then goes back to the manufacturer. That's a lot of steps, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes from the consumer to a Loop distribution center, cleaned, and back to the manufacturer. One step.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what about, like, so how many times... Or you, if you guys know yet, how many times do you think those packages
well,
go back
the
and forth?
Minimum has to be 10 to enter Loop.
Okay.
There's rules, but the aspiration is 100. Like that Häagen-Dazs container was designed to do 100.
Oh, wow. So like 100 uses back
Which means 20, 30 years from now could still be out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I'm really excited about Loop.
Oh, right on, man. Yeah. Well, you should go to loopstore.com.
Go home and sign
up. Yeah, loopstore.com, sign up. And we'll let you know when it's in your area. And it's going to be embedded into major retailers is the key. So why we're really excited about it is, what's the risk in new business models is usually I have to convince you to like my product and I have to convince you to buy it in my store.
Yeah.
I don't have to do either here. Yeah. I'm just really asking, would you like your favorite product, whether it's Tide laundry detergent or 7th generation hand soap or, you know, Tropicana orange juice or Häagen-Dazs ice cream, you name it, and many more.
Yeah.
Would you like that in disposable or durable?
Got it. Pretty cool.
It's not a bad choice, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the Loop. Why don't you talk to us about your book a little bit? Because your book is kind of... like a little, I've been listening to it on audiobook.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a precursor to Loop, it sounds like. It's kind of like a history lesson of how do we get to Loop.
It is, absolutely. So the future of packaging is, this is the fourth book I've written on the topic of garbage.
Yeah.
And this particular book focuses on, it's not my opinion, each chapter is co-authored with an expert in the industry. So folks like Paul Pullman, CEO of Unilever, all the way to Christine Whitman, former head of the EPA and governor of New Jersey, and many other notable figures who really know what they're talking about in these categories. I want to make an opinion of a group of experts than it's Tom's opinion, right? So it's a little bit more like, hey, this is, you know, take it seriously in that sense. And we structured the book in a couple of ways. The beginning explains why are we here? Because the only way to innovate, I think, is to take a step back and understand the problem. You know, a good example of this is, let's say you're going to innovate the idea of a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Step innovation, like to, you know, to take a step forward would be, let's make a better toothbrush, change the bristle angle, change the material. That is like incremental innovation. Put another, you know, blade on the razor blade, right?
Yeah.
I like to really try to do step back innovation, which is to say, take a step back and understand, what's the purpose of a toothbrush? Well, it's oral hygiene,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, you're not in the mode of a toothbrush. You're like, what's the best way to deliver oral hygiene? And maybe it's not a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something else,
know?
And I think that's what we need. So the first thing we need to do is take a step back and understand, why are we in this situation?
Yeah.
Why is there a garbage problem? And that why is actually really enlightening. Once you understand the why, then it's really important. This middle of the book talks about, what can you do now, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, okay, here's why we are here. What can you do in the short term, like immediately? Like, what are the pivots? Like, a simple example is, don't you use black plastic because it's not easy to sort in recycling centers.
Yeah.
Change the color. That's
I just heard that chapter this morning.
Yeah, right? So that's an easy win. Well, you can do right now, because we need to do immediate actions. It's not, sustainability can't just be about what 10 years from now will be like, because we got to get to 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And the third question is, then how do we design out of this completely, right? And how do we do that from a lens of positive? Not a lens of fear, like the world's going to end, but how do we invent a better place?
Okay.
And that, and it sort of then teases at the end examples like Loop, you know, because that's sort of what are new models that can come out.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Like I said, I'm about halfway through the book.
Yeah.
I'm at the black plastic.
Oh, the
part,
black plastic,
actually.
Right?
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. I actually didn't realize some of that stuff. So
isn't that crazy?
I'm going through it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going through it, and I'm listening in my car as I'm driving around, and you know, I'm looking. I got a plastic water bottle. I'm feeling bad.
Yes.
So I mean, the book is really good and really, really interesting. I love that it starts with the history of how we're at, like you were saying. So, I mean, I highly recommend it. Definitely. What do you think in terms of the future of, so, you know, for our industry, like distribution and logistics and stuff, I mean, we create a lot of waste, right?
Yeah.
We have tons of packaging and corrugate and stuff like that. So what are steps that people can take in the industry, do you think, to be more sustainable and be more responsible environmentally like that?
Gosh, it's a really, really good question. So I think, you know, the first thing in any operational function is the obvious, which is the eco-efficiencies.
Yes.
What I mean by the obvious eco-efficiencies is everything that's going to save you money. Stack your pallet better, jam more into the truck, you know, make everything FTL instead of LTL, you know, that sort of thing. But that's intuitive. Like, you should do that anyway, whether you care about the environment or not, right? That's like the base.
It's just cost
savings.
Yeah.
And I struggle when many times operations folks say, sustainability is easy because it's just efficiency. Well, yeah, because you just picked the easy shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that is,
lightweighting a package, of course, is going to be, you know, more efficient.
Yeah.
Stacking a pallet better, but you should have done that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shame on you for being inefficient.
Yeah.
Right? So, that, do all that, but that's just the very beginning. Please don't limit your point of view to just that, because you should have already done that already. If you have areas you can improve, then why didn't you yesterday?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's go into the unobvious, right? I think a lot of, again, I take a lot of inspiration from CHEP in the sense that they were able to create a reusable pallet system where most pallets are disposable, right?
Yeah.
And look at the difference. The CHEP pallet is an objectively better pallet.
It is. The quality is
Huge.
Way more better.
Way better. Yeah. It's a great business model for CHEP.
Mm.
Everyone wins along the way. You don't get these shitty pallets that, like, you know, have nails in them and break
and
all the...
Fall apart.
Yeah,
and
all the negatives.
Hazards,
exactly. There's a major safety problem, right? Not to mention disposable problem and all this. You go to composting sites, many of them have pallet shredders because there's so many pallets that get wasted. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's about, how do you create more models like CHEP that can go into, could it go into like shipping boxes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could it go into, especially in the relationship where it's a lot of back and forth relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of distribution is, I ship from here to there and I'm always shipping from here to there.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah, and like, is there a way to start creating these sort of more CHEP type systems for especially like packing materials, you know, things that the consumer may never see or touch, you know, like, products will come in case packs. The consumer will never see that case pack.
Yeah.
So why can't those case packs go back and forth?
Yeah.
And really, at the beginning, it may seem unintuitive, but take a step back and then really dive in and say, what if?
Yeah.
Because maybe, as a DC operator or a warehouse or whatever, you may discover some really interesting things, right? That's the important part. Because I think mostly where people will focus are going to be these efficiencies, and let's do those. But I think let's take a step beyond that and think about, you know, imagine CHEP type, like reusable pallet banding, reusable pallet shrouds instead of stretch wrap, you know, reusable shipping cases. I think there's so much interesting stuff that could be done in the world of reusable.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I've always kind of thought about. Like, if you were to look at like Amazon, like how many times do you order from Amazon? So like, is there a way that they can create some type of package that you could just send back, and then you're just sending your items back and forth, basically?
Exactly. Well, here's the fun part in like Loop, in the distributors, these are retailers that have their own fleet for e-commerce, like Carrefour, Tesco, those are two of the biggest European retailers, and they have their own fleet for their e-com. When they deliver to you the Loop product, their trucks, which are leaving empty anyway, are going to be picking up the dirties.
Yeah, so then you're optimizing even more.
There you go.
More efficient.
Definitely. Yeah, no cost, and you get an extra nice step for the consumer that is even more convenient.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what would you say, you know, for like a distribution manager that's listening right now, maybe they're lacking some type of recyclability program in their building, what would be the first step
to
get into that?
I think the first thing to do in recyclability, so not reuse, which is Loop, but more TerraCycle, which is recyclability, is to vote for those objects that are locally recyclable, right? Like, procure the object that you can just locally recycle.
Got it.
Then for what you can't, you know, you can, we do a whole big, half of our business is B2B. We do a lot with distribution centers where, you know, contact us, terracycle.com, and you can tell us what your waste stream is, and then we'll tell you what it would cost to collect and recycle it. And we can do, I think there's nothing in a DC we can't do. And we actually do a lot of distribution centers where we take pallet banding, stretch wrap, personal protective equipment, plastic gloves. Yeah, quite a bit. It's just not really talked about because it's, you know, B2B. And B2B is not as loud in the media as B2C.
Yeah, because B2C is taking over, and B2C is
B2C
growing,
is
and exploding,
sort of what everyone talks about, right?
Yeah,
it's like, because every consumer can relate to B2C, and only professionals can relate to the B2B.
Definitely, All right, very interesting. Is there anything else we should know about TerraCycle and Loop?
You know, I think the most important takeaway, whether you're in B2B or you're a consumer, and if you're in B2B, you are both. You are a consumer on one end, and you are a B2B professional on the other, is the most important thing to think about is by procuring product if you're a B2B, or by buying goods if you're a B2C, you are voting for the future you want.
Got it.
Because we are actively voting for more of those goods to exist.
Yeah.
So don't do it blindly. That would be, doing it without thinking would be equivalent to going and voting for the next president and not looking at who you voted for.
Yeah, like not even doing any research. Yeah,
none. So. Just not even looking at the name.
Yeah.
Just
checking
a box.
Procuring that item, you're kind of, you're making that choice.
Yeah, and you're telling the manufacturer, I want more of that, and I want less of the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, not buying is an active vote as well.
Yeah, because you're
just like sort of not voting is an active vote.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting takeaway. Yeah. Okay, so if people want to find out more about TerraCycle and
Absolutely. So
Loop, how could they do that?
The best way to go is TerraCycle.com if you want to look at TerraCycle, and then LoopStore.com if you want to check out Loop.
Okay, great. Tom, thanks so much for talking to us on the New Warehouse Podcast. And if you guys haven't gotten the book yet, definitely go out there and get it. It is The Future of Packaging from Linear to Circular. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.